This is the Experimental Game Dev Podcast Show, and today we'll discuss Godot. And basically, I'm just going to share my thoughts and opinions and concerns on Godot, and we'll see what happens. This is more of a podcast. This is kind of the change in direction where I'm going to focus more on technical stuff in the podcast, at least for, you know, for the next few podcasts, we'll see, because I want to move away from interviews and kind of do stuff that's more maybe design-oriented or technical-oriented and just have those discussions. So with Godot, I heard about Godot recently. I was looking for a new game engine, and I was using a game engine. I was using a game engine before that probably a lot of you have heard. But, you know, I noticed that the terms are always changing on these game engines. And then one game engine has like a revenue deal. And then they saw an app a game get popular. And they cloned it. That's mess. I felt like that was messed up. The indies came up with the hit. They're paying a royalty stream. And the company that gets the royalty stream cloned them. I mean, so I feel like this stuff's going to inevitably happen. And so, and then also I think a lot of these game engines, they're not really focused on even game developers now, because there's so many other industries that are willing to pay for these kind of game-like interfaces that dealing with indie developers is, first of all, it's not fun. And they don't even necessarily have a ton of money, like, you know, for the construction industry or some of these other industries. For them to pay a few thousand a seat per year is nothing. For indie developers, you have to convince them, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And so I felt like, you know what, there's just so many other interests that these game engines have to take care of, that indie developers are really not going to get a good situation, in my opinion. So I started looking for game engines, and I looked at LibGDX, I looked at Monogame, I looked at Godot, and, you know, some other ones. And so I was like, well, what's going to happen? Is Godot going to end up like all the other open source game engines that kind of get a little love and then kind of fall out? And I don't know. I do see, you know, I try to draw some parallels with things that have happened in the tech industry before, and maybe that's what'll happen here. So I'm just going to list them, and, you know, feel free to post your thoughts or comment on them or whatever else. But my feeling is that, first of all, kudos and props to the Godot team for keeping up with this, right? Because I think a lot of these other engines, they get open source and no one really gives them any love. But one, the guy who started Godot, the project, has been working on it and continuously working on it. So I think for at least we've seen this pattern before where if there's a successful, if there's someone who's really committed to actually making the project work, and it's a project that people would enjoy or want, then it can grow. It can grow through that painful phase that a lot of people quit through. And so and I think Godot has passed that, you know, has been, now it's been like 10 years or something for Godot. So, so that's one thing. I think the other thing is they've made an interface so it's easier to get into Godot, right? So that's a cool thing too. I've been reading the documentation, and I think the documentation's pretty nice. I was concerned about a few things related to Godot, like, you know, can you do certain things that you can't do in other game engines, or things that you can't do in Godot that can happen in other game engines. But it seems like a lot of it is there. So for me, here are the benefits, and here's my perspective on this. One is that I was actually looking on books on game engines just to study up, because I feel, and I think I've shared this learning lesson in previous podcast, but here's a lesson learned regardless, is that, you know, I think it really helps to know all the details of games, you know, even though that's not going to be a guarantee for success, because you need to find that next thing, that new thing. But sometimes if you know the fundamentals, you can create, you can blend them together to create that new thing, or at least understand what's going on. So it increases the probabilities. But then again, if you get too committed to certain technologies, it may even hinder you because you're just, you don't want to change. So you have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to learn new things. And so, you know, for me, I started learning or picking up more math books, and I wanted to study game engine stuff. And I noticed that these game engine books were actually pretty expensive. Now I got one, but it was used. But I was like, this is interesting. I can actually download this free open source, true, like a real game engine, not some book that's like $50, but a real game engine, and it's free. So at the very least, I was going to study the source, and I have been kind of reading up a little on the source of Godot just to understand how game engines, like how a real game engine would work. So at the very least, for indie developers or other developers, I think it helps to at least check out the source to understand how game engines are working or how the game engine is working. So that's one thing. That was one benefit. The other benefit is that I felt like I don't want to be concerned about a company changing the licensing terms so that someone like who's committed a lot of years, time, and effort learning their stuff now gets a really bad wake-up call. And I feel like that's what's happening. And so I looked, you know, you see the source and you see the license terms or whatever of Godot, it's open sourced. So at the very least, you can kind of build your own, you can rebuild the engine, you can do stuff with it. So that was a nice thing. The other thing I noticed that was super nice and beneficial was that the community, like Reddit/r/Godot, seems to be pretty active. So that's pretty nice. And they're willing to help people who are interested in doing games. The other thing I noticed is that as these game engines start using stuff like machine learning and data and all this other stuff, you just begin to realize that all those other tools are open source. Like the big machine learning tools are open source, a lot of them are. I mean, there's enough. And then, you know, Python and all these other things are open source. And it's the only thing that's really out of the whole game system ecosystem. It's the game engines that are closed source, it seems. So I think that maybe what's going to happen is that the game engines are going to be open source too. Like it can't be where machine learning, like advanced machine learning, is open sourced. And like a lot of these other tools like Lua and whatever else and interpreters and everything else, they're all open source. And then game engines themselves are closed source. And so I feel like what's going to happen is that things will become open source. So I saw there were two models that this whole thing could play out. One is that this could be like Blender, right? And so even though Blender's out there and it's free, Maya and whatever else and 3ds Max or whatever else, they're still doing all right, you know? And then I was like, well, the other option is they could be like Linux. And what happened with Linux is, you know, there was this strong founder who kept pursuing it, kept improving it, kept continuing it. And then everything built around that ecosystem. And then the people and the companies that wanted to modify Linux and adjust Linux were able to do it. And Linux still kept on going. And I was like, well, and that kind of makes sense. And look, Linux was an operating system against in a really, you know, huge entrenched operating system like Microsoft Windows and Unix and all these other things. And it came out ahead. And so maybe this could be Linux. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it also depends on the community and the commitment and other things. But I think why this could potentially be Linux versus Blender is that with Blender, I was like, well, look, how come the Blender community didn't take over everything? Even though Blender is a super popular tool, the people who use Blender were mainly artists, right? So they couldn't necessarily do the programming or the modification of the code of Blender and participate to the community in that manner. But with Godot, people who are using Godot are developers too. And I'm not saying they're going to be the best developers or the worst developers or whatever, but they are developers, so they can contribute to the code. So maybe this will be the Linux of the game industry. I don't know. I mean, it's a thought. And oh yeah, But you know, people do have concerns about Godot, and I had my concerns myself. First of all, I was like, well, look, can I even do stuff that I can do in these other game engines in Godot? And I know there's not a lot of polish, and I want to use Godot for 3D stuff. So I'm a little concerned. It isn't like I've shipped a 3D game in Godot and it's making money or whatever else. And I feel like let's see what happens with that. I mean, I've started doing some 3D stuff in it, and it seems all right. I do notice some performance issues, and that just might be because I'm using the Godot scripting language. But they do have now native scripting. They've allowed for, or they're allowing for C# and some of the other languages to interface with Godot. And some of these languages actually have a significant performance increase if you use C#, say, versus the actual GD script, which is the Godot scripting language. That's kind of more easy and fun to use, in my opinion. And they have GD native, which is kind of like a native interface to the Godot game engine, which has a pretty good performance. So, because I was concerned about some performance, but I'm not necessarily into things that need maximal frame rate, but there are some algorithms that I need to make sure perform well, because I noticed there was some lag in some things that I was doing in Godot. But that just might be because of the way I coded the algorithm. I could have probably improved it. And also because I use GD script versus C# or GD native or something else like that. I was also concerned that with Godot, let's say I want to export to Nintendo Switch, or I want to export to some of these other consoles, there is no native console export opportunity at this point. My feeling is, and on these other game engines, it's a lot easier to do that. And my feeling is that if Godot gets popular enough, or even if there's a popular game that comes out of Godot, then I think that the other companies will be willing to allow for Godot to export to their console. And we'll see, though. I mean, that is a big sticking point, but it seems like there are third-party people willing to do the console port, which is a step in the right direction. But I think if the Godot community grows, people will be willing to do it. I mean, there's no reason why these consoles care to just be proprietary to certain game engines. They just want good games. And if good games come out of Godot, then I think they'll be open to finding a way to make it work with Godot. So, I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on this. I mean, and then there's the whole issue with the fact that, you know, there's things where now people are literally rendering the game on servers, and then they're just exporting the video to player screens. And so that's going to completely and if it takes off, and I think it is, it's going to completely upend the industry. And the question is does something like Godot, would Godot even support something like that easily? I think the fact that it's open source means that there at least it could play in that domain. And it recently added AR and VR support, so that's good. I think that's the other thing with some of these other game engines, is that the previous open source game engines, they also didn't keep up with kind of the new platforms that emerged or showed up or whatever. And I think that's an important part. So the fact that Godot has kept up with these things, you can export to Android and iOS and other things, is pretty nice. They also have a plugin system in Godot, which allows you to add stuff. Like, so for example, there's no Vibrate API option in Godot. But so if you wanted to make something on Android that vibrates, I wasn't sure if you could even do it, but I started reading up on this, and there's, you know, you can write plugins that allow you to easily add these options where you interface with the operating system or whatever else of the platform you're going for, at least with Android for sure. And then you can have things like Vibrate or Rumble or whatever else you want to do. So I think Godot is interesting, and I will see if I can do my project on it. I'm enjoying GD script. I know a lot of people love C# and all these other languages, but I actually like simple languages like Lua and whatever else. I do wonder though, what, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel like Godot is an interesting thing, and the question is this something that developers could use and make games that they enjoy to play, and also games that allow them to continue to make enough revenue to keep on doing games. Anyways, so I started reading about Godot. I started using Godot, and I'm enjoying Godot. And if anyone sees any concerns, or you have any concerns on why it's a, or you have a good reason on why it's a bad idea to continue with Godot, let me know. And I think it also helps to see that there are actually nice development books on Godot already out there. But yeah, so that's it for now. Post in the comments below and take care.